Today's scripture reading comes from John 11, verses 25 to 26. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, and even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning, church. If you haven't had the opportunity to meet me, my name is An Seg. I serve here as children and teens ministry pastor, and it is my great honor and privilege to bring you the word of God this morning. Now, it's very exciting and pleasing to see more of you here attending the worship service in person. I know there's a lot of you who are joining the worship service through Zoom right now, and I just cannot wait for us to get together. I really look forward to the day when we can all be able to gather in this one sanctuary where we can worship the Lord. And so for now, I'm just so grateful for the technology that God has given us, where we can be together and be connected. So this time, I just hope and pray that God will unite us through the technology, and more importantly, through the Holy Spirit, that He will speak to each and every single one of us here in a meaningful way, in a great way. So why don't we pray as we begin this time? Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning knowing that this is your word, which we are about to hear. And we want to be changed and we want to be transformed by your word. So Father, would you help us to see the power of your Son, Jesus Christ, as we open our ears and as we open our hearts to you, God. We invite your Holy Spirit to fill us, to teach us, and encourage us from your today. So be with us right now, wherever we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, the news for the past week or a few months, or let's just say almost 2 years now in general, is hard to watch. And in fact, to be honest, it's always hard to watch when you're watching the news. Do you agree? Yeah? There's a lot of negativities that the mass media is trying to convey to us. But at the same time, there's actually a lot of things are going on in this world. It's very discouraging and frustrating, especially this year with the massive wildfire that destroyed almost every home in Lytton Village, and the extreme heat wave that took so many lives of people over the summer. Do you all remember that? The ongoing global pandemic, which you thought was gonna end soon. Now with the all different new variants, it's been very tough for everyone this year. But just about 3 weeks ago or four, there was a massive flood that's had rolled in Abbotsford. And it was really hard to see the photos and videos of what were taking place. It was actually making me have tears in my eyes as I was thinking about all those families who had lost so much, and seeing them evacuating. It was just devastating to watch so many homes damaged and flooded. Not to mention there were countless animals who were being killed by the flood. And as I'm seeing all these tragic happen, not just in BC where we live, but around the world, the most painful and indeed the most sad part for me was watching people losing their lives, whatever the cause was, and hearing the news of the number of deaths day by day. And what is so painful is not only the numbers are quite large, but you know that each person in that number, we call an individual real person, a real person. Now we have family and friends who have lost a loved one. A family and friends were grieving for somebody who has passed away. Even some of you here in this morning might have lost family members or friends in the past, for whatever the reason. Even those of us who aren't or who haven't are probably aware of those people nearby to us who have lost people. So 3 weeks ago, as usual, I made a phone call to my parents who are in Korea right now, and for some reason, they didn't respond to my call. And I find it weird because they would usually get back to me as soon as they find out that I call them. And so the next day I decided to call them again. And this time my mother answered the phone and she said that she was gonna call me back. And I was like, okay. So I waited because she told me that she was gonna call me back. Waited a couple more hours and she ended up not calling me back. And so I kind of find that weird too, because she would usually, you know, get back to me as soon as she's done with something. But the next day she called me and she explained why she couldn't really take my call and why she couldn't get back to me. And she said, your grandfather has passed away. Turns out my beloved grandfather has passed away, and both my father and my mother were on their way to his funeral at the time when I was, you know, calling them, trying to reach them. And so as soon as I heard that news, I instantly burst into tears. And after the call ended, I prayed for my mother, and especially for my grandfather, for him to be with God in heaven. You know, obviously for my family, the past few weeks have been hard and sad, but in the midst of that, I knew that my families and I weren't the only ones who were going through a hard time, right? It's a very sad time that we're going through and experiencing as an individual, as a community, as a nation. And it makes us ask in times like these, in the face of death, when it feels like death is so near to us, we ask, can there be any hope? Can there be any hope? Where is our hope? Most of the time, death isn't something we really discuss very much, isn't it? Many people happily discuss politics, Hollywood celebrities, perhaps upcoming K-dramas or Netflix shows. And I find a lot of times many people are happy to talk about even their very personal things publicly, but people rarely talk about death. It's something we usually avoid talking about. Death is ultimately inescapable and unavoidable. And so in the face of death, in the face of something so powerful, something that is ultimately inescapable, can there be any hope? And so this morning, I want us to listen to Jesus' words as he speaks about that and the living hope that we have in him as we're in the season of Advent, where we celebrate it, and we're meditating on the coming of Jesus and the purpose for it. And this is what Jesus says in our scripture today, where we're particularly going to focus this morning. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Jesus makes an amazing claim here. He says that everyone who believes in him, even though they'll die at some point, they'll live again, and that he will give them new life, resurrection life. And not only that, but in a sense, all who believe in him won't die. There's a spiritual sense in which they won't die or live forever. And not only that, but the source of this resurrection life is Jesus himself. He says that he has the power to defeat death. In the section before our reading today, we hear about this man named Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha. And they were very close to Jesus, but we learn that Lazarus has become very ill. And so Mary and Martha, they send a message to Jesus to tell him that their brother is very ill, and how they need Jesus to help them and to do something about it. And Jesus, when he receives a message, he says quite something surprising, that instead of leaving immediately for Lazarus, he stays where he's at for the next couple of days. He doesn't leave immediately, but he does tell his disciples that this situation will not end. in death, the Lazarus. And that was strange because just after that, he tells us that he has died. What's happening here? Let's take a look at the next bit that follows. After 2 days, Jesus does leave and then finally goes to his hometown. It's in verse 17 in today's account. On his arrival, Jesus finds out that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Lazarus was already dead when he got there. He had been in the tomb for 4 whole days, and there was no way that it could have been a mistake or some people going confused about the fact that Lazarus wasn't dead. And that was the reality. Lazarus was dead, and he was not going to come back to life. And so when Martha hears that Jesus has arrived, she goes out to meet him. And she says this to him in verse 21. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now here we have to understand that Martha knows that Jesus healed many sick people. And we find that in the Gospels too, as we read, Jesus healed many sick people. And so she knows that Jesus is capable of healing many people. And she knows that Jesus could have healed her brother, Lazarus. She thinks that only if Jesus had arrived 4 days earlier, her brother would not have died. But in verse 22, she says this, "But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask." She knows even now that God listens to what Jesus says. But what could even Jesus do in the face of that? Well, Jesus responds in verse 23. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha accepts this in a different way, though. She believes in life after death. She believes that one day people will rise to life, which means she believes that one day her brother Lazarus will rise again to life as well. But what Jesus means, it means more than what Martha realizes here. There's more to it. And then he goes on to these verses that we're seeing, particularly this morning. Again, verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? See, Jesus makes a remarkable claim here. He claims to be the source of resurrection and of life after death and of eternal life, starting now. Jesus says, "Whoever believes in me, they will live even though they die." And this is the hope that Jesus gives us today. Jesus recognizes, he recognizes the reality of death. He knows that people do die at some point. But he says, those who believe in him, there will be life after death, life beyond death. Elsewhere in the Bible, he makes it really clear that those who die trusting in Jesus go immediately into Jesus' presence. They go to be with Jesus immediately, spiritually. In the last couple of weeks in our church family, we had a couple of our good, long-standing, much-loved church members pass away, and it's been a sad time. And as a church, we've grieved over these couple of church members who passed away, and it's really sad, right? But actually, we have a great comfort in the midst of that, because we know that they passed away trusting in Jesus and that they are with Jesus now. And so for them, it's a great thing. They get to be with Jesus. They get to be with Jesus in a great way. So in that sense, we can even be happy for them, even though we miss them, because they passed away trusting in Jesus. But the Bible's picture of eternal life is even more than this. When Jesus speaks of resurrection, he means a sort of physical and spiritual eternity. It's not only that our souls live forever, but Jesus says he gives his people a raised physical body. That there will be a day when Jesus returns to rule, all his people will give in a new raised physical body. Sort of a physical and spiritual body. sort of the ones we have now, but sort of different, that we can live in that new spiritual and physical reality for eternity. Again, Jesus tells us that he is the resurrection, and whoever believes in him, even though they die, that they will live. Jesus also says here, though, that he is alive. He says, whoever lives and believes in him will never die. He says there is some spiritual sense in which those who are trusting in Jesus don't die. But what does that mean? Well, let's go back and think about what death means in the Bible. You see, the death of people in the Bible is never thought of simply as being like a natural process. It's rather a sign of the broken world that we have. The Bible talks at the very beginning about how our first parents rebelled against God, that the perfect relationship that they had with God was broken, that spiritually they died, and then physical death followed. And the same has been true for all of us who followed after them. And actually, the Bible tells us in many places that spiritually, without Christ, we are dead. And then eventually, we physically die too. But those who trust in Jesus, we can have this restored relationship with God. We can be given a new spiritual life now. We can be raised to life now spiritually through Jesus' death and resurrection. We can have a new life that continues forever. And this new spiritual life of God cannot be broken by anything. Even death does not break it. Even though we may die, you know, our bodies might die, but we just continue in this relationship with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus promises that for everyone who trusts in him, both life and after death, and a new spiritual life now with God, start now, continuing for eternity. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Isn't this amazing? This is an amazing word by Jesus. Perhaps the most hopeful thing that he has ever said in the Bible. But at the same time, we might ask ourselves from deep in our hearts, is there any evidence of that truth? Is there any evidence of that? So let's look at what happens in the rest of this account of Lazarus. After Jesus talks with Martha, Mary, he talks with Jesus now. Mary, just like Martha, she says to Jesus, Jesus, why did you come so late? Only if you arrive earlier before my brother is passed away, he would not have died. She feels the same way as Martha did. Then after that, we read this in verse 33 of chapter 11 of John. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord. They replied. Jesus wept. Now, death is a horrible thing. Death separates people, and it breaks relationships. And Jesus sees the pain in the death causes for those who he cares about. And Jesus weeps. Now, he must have known what he was about to do, but even so, as he sees the pain and the devastation of death, he weeps, just like us. Sometimes people talk about death as being as an actual process, just one of those things that we shouldn't get too worked up about it. But then the thing is, our entire being rebelled against that fault, death, we're sure, we feel, we know that death is a horrible, painful thing. It causes immense hurt. We know that deep down that death is not a good thing. It's not a natural thing. Deep down, we long for something else. Deep down, we think death is not going to carry on like this. You know, as Jesus sees the pain of death, he weeps as well. I guess that itself can be seen as an encouraging thing, but if it stops there, then there is still no hope in the face of death. That's just empathy and some consolation, right? So then Jesus goes on to show that he really is the resurrection and the life, that he really is the one who has the power over death. So he goes to the tomb after the stone is removed. And Martha, she has a major practical objection. He goes, Jesus, what are you doing right now? What are you trying to do? You came late and you want to see the dead body? If you remove the stone away, it's only going to smell really bad. But this is what Jesus says to her in verse 40. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Now what Jesus is about to do here, he's going to show God's glory. And he will show that Jesus has been sent by God, that Jesus is a son of God, and he's going to show the glory of Jesus and the glory of Father. Let's look at verse 43. When he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus speaks to this dead man, to Lazarus, the man who was in the grave for 4 days, and he calls him to come out. And an amazing thing is, he does. He does come alive and walks out of the tomb. He's been dead for whole 4 days, but now he was raised to life. Jesus has a power over death. He can defeat death. He can give people life. He can speak and raise the dead to life. When Jesus said that he is the resurrection and the life, he really meant it, and he has proved it. He has proved it by raising Lazarus from the dead, and he has proved it again as he defeats death after his own death. Now, those are something that no one else could do. No one else ever had this kind of power. And it shows us who Jesus really is, that he is the King, that he is the Son of God, that he is the Messiah, that he is the one who rules over all. As we look at the rest of John's gospel, we see how Jesus defeated death for good, how he himself dies to deal with all that done wrong in God's sight, to make sure that justice done, but that we can also be saved and given this eternal life in him. And at the end of this book, the writer of this gospel, John, tells us why he wrote these miraculous signs like this. And he says this in verse 30 of chapter 20 of John. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This shows us how we respond to this account, this warning. And that is, what should we do? We should trust in Jesus, the Son of God, and receive in him the true living hope and life forever. This account has shown who Jesus is, even though he was fully human, and though he wept with others, where Lazarus was grieved. He's also the Son of God. He's the one who has power over death. He's a resurrection and a life. He can speak and raise a dead to life. And so we should really believe in him. And that means not just believing the truth about him, but actually choosing to trust him and rely on him to put our lives into his hands. I would like to ask this question as I kind of conclude this message. When it comes to death or any kind of sufferings that you go through in your lives, whatever that is, how do you respond to that? Or how would you respond to that? How did you respond to that? I mean, there should be a way that Christians respond differently than the world around us, right? Because we have a living hope, a hope and a salvation that cannot be taken away from us. In 1 Peter, one of the final things that Peter is reminding us concerning our salvation is remember the power behind our salvation. Remember the power behind our salvation. And that is a resurrection power of Jesus Christ. The power behind your resurrection and your salvation is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And he says this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What does that mean? What does that mean? It means that you are all been born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Peter reminds us that it is by the resurrection that we can have salvation and hope for the future. We can be assured that God has rescued us through the resurrection. And all we need to do is accept that, that he is in charge and that he is the Savior. We need to entrust our life to him, accepting that he is rightful. And for everyone who does that, we know that we receive eternal life starting now. We're reconciled to God, that we will see the spiritual life now, which will last forever. And when we die physically, we're going to be with Jesus and have a resurrection life to look forward to. As Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. It's a great promise, isn't it? It's a promise for those who believe in Jesus, those who rely on him. But there is one thing that we have to remember. It's not an automatic thing. We need to actually choose to trust Jesus and believe wholeheartedly. This is what Martha says in verse 27 when Jesus asks, "Do you believe this?" She says, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." My brothers and sisters, do you believe in Jesus? Do you trust Jesus? If you don't, if you haven't, turn to Jesus. I urge you to do so. Because only through Jesus we can know the true life. And only through Jesus we can have the hope for eternal life. And by believing and trusting in Jesus, you can have life with God now and live with God forever. You can receive the living and true hope in the face of death. The true hope of life. And that means you would not have to fear death. So start trusting him today. If you are trusting in Jesus, this passage will become a great encouragement to all of us. It means we don't need to fear death anymore because we know that death is simply going to be with Jesus, with the one who has defeated death, as he showed here with Lazarus. And as he showed in his own resurrection to life. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he has defeated death, Lord. We thank you that Jesus is the resurrection and the life and gives those things to those who trust in him. Lord, we pray that we will trust Jesus, that we will put our life in his hand and keep trusting in him. Lord, we pray that in trusting in Jesus, we won't fear death, but we will look forward to living now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.